2 on the book of Ephesians, as we began, I put a foundation on first on Christ is altogether lovely. How we saw the loveliness of Christ. And then we saw last time leaning on Jesus' bosom, and how we need to lean on Jesus' bosom. As Jesus, we saw the love of Jesus to the Father, and we saw His intense love to the Father, and how we need to love Him. And then how God will see us through Jesus Christ. Now, in the same context, I'm going to continue on Ephesians, and the topic will be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. And I'm going to go through some scriptures. You may have to write down some of the scriptures. I may go through some of the scriptures with you. It depends on how the Lord is going to lead me here. So, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says here, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Now, if we imitate the world, we become worldly. But if we imitate God, we become godly. But if we don't imitate God, we become ungodly. It doesn't matter how good a person you are, how you are trying to keep all the moral values, it doesn't matter. But if we don't imitate God, we become ungodly. Remember, in your before Christ days, when you were in the world, you always wanted to imitate the world. You adored and imitated the stars of this world. And you were ruled by the passions of this world. Sin promised freedom, but it brought us bondage. Now grace binds us and it gives us liberty. When you became a Christian, you were brought out from darkness to the light of Christ. Now Christ becomes your model. Christ becomes your star, as He is the captain of your salvation. We need to imitate God through Christ Jesus, because He is the captain of our salvation, because He is the source of salvation. It was Christ who died for us. It was not the stars of this world. And how people adore the sports stars today, how they adore the Hollywood stars today, and they didn't die for us. Christ died for us. And He's the one needs to be adored. And it was God who gave us a new life. And not this world or anybody. He's the one who changed us. So we need to adore and imitate Him. Now, if you look at Ephesians chapter 1, what we said, it says here, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. And it goes with the previous verse on Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And this is the example that we need to follow. Now, if you take a subject on imitators of God, we can go for the rest of the year. Amen. So what I'm going to do is, I have put just some nuggets of it for this sermon. So here, forgiving one another, tender-hearted, just as Christ forgave us. If you remember, in the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 27, and also in the book of Matthew, it says, Jesus said, Luke 6, 27, but I say to you, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Only a true born-again Christian can apply this principle in his heart. Amen. Only a true born-again Christian can truly love their enemy. and we can forgive those who hate us. Christ set us that example. And also Luke chapter 6 verse 36 says, Jesus said, be merciful even as your Father is merciful. Not to come to judgments right away, but having mercy. Colossians chapter 3 verse 13 says, Colossians 3:13. You can turn with me. Apostle Paul said Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. It's a commandment. Must. Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Can any one of us can say, follow me as I follow Christ? That's the way it should be. We are made in the very image of God, and we should resemble that image like a lighthouse to a dark world. John, the 3rd John chapter 1 verse 11 says, 3rd John chapter 1 verse 11, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. God is the only good source we have. And imitate only God, not the wicked things, not the world. Remember, the dying words of Jesus Christ are to ring in our ears for the rest of our lives. As Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Did he not set as an example? The example of bearing and forbearing. Who, when he was reviled time and a time again, he was cursed, but he gave a blessing. Price goes not before salvation, but before destruction. We ought also to be what we need to walk as Jesus did, in lowliness and in the tenderness of Christ. Now, God is love. God is love. And if you want to really see love is, you want to see God is love. I want to really see God's love. Look at Christ. He loves the Father. Christ loves the little children and suffers them to come in. Christ loves the fatherless. Christ loves the widows. Christ loves the orphans. He loves the poor sinners that would draw unto him. Do you love? Christ loves people. Do you love people? Do you love people? Or do you love only those who love you? Do you love? Are you only the ones that I love them? Jesus said, love your enemies. When you are being cursed, bless them. Do you love only yourself? Are you selfish, cowardice, don't care for others? Then I'll tell you, you go to hell. Amen. In hell, you will find company. All the unloving, all the cowardice, all the selfish are in hell. Only he that loves can live in heaven. Because heaven is love. You cannot go to heaven unless you learn how to love. It can happen only through Christ Jesus. Now, when you think about imitating God, the first thing, you need to be in Christ. You imitate someone that is very close to you, close to your heart. If you love your parents because you're very close to your parents and you imitate them as a child, when we are little children, we like to imitate our father, mother. Now remember, first, we are called the children a God. How much more we should imitate our Heavenly Father. In 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We are called the children of God. We are called the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love is this? It was Christ who was accused. They charged Christ, but we are set free. They cursed Christ and put a crown on his head. Now we get a crown on our head. What a difference. And we are called the children of God. And we have a Father, Heavenly Father. How much more we should imitate him. Well, we need to stay close to him. If we don't stay close to him, we can't imitate God. In 1 John chapter 2 verse 6 says, 1 John chapter 2 verse 6, whoever says he abides in him, he ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. If we say that we are in him, we need to walk as Jesus walked. There has to be a separation to walk with Jesus. You cannot walk with the world and walk with Jesus at the same time. Either you walk with the world or you walk with Jesus. You cannot have both ways. So the things that you adore, things that you love, things that you treasure, the passions and the desires of this world need to be crucified if you have to walk with Jesus. We need to deny ourselves, pick up the cross and walk. Jesus said, John chapter 12 verse 46, I am come a light into the world, that whoever so believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So if you truly believe in Jesus, we should not abide in darkness. John 12:46. Remember the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness. They were crying out for the food that they tasted in Egypt. They were craving and lusting after the foods of Egypt. But at the same time, their souls were getting leaner and leaner. And we must refuse the cravings of this world in order that our souls will be prosperous. We should rest in Christ Jesus instead of the vanity and the ambitions and the ungodliness of this world. If you are in Christ, then you are out of the world. If you are not in Christ, then you are out of Christ. You cannot have both ways. If you are not in Christ, then you are out of Christ. Then, if you are out of Christ, then the wrath of God is abiding under us. Then we cannot imitate God. Now, another important thing of imitating God is we need to have, as I said, we need to abide in Christ, then we need to have humility. Now, there's no way we can imitate God in humility. God is not humble, but that's what I'm going to say here. You know, there's no way that God is very humble, because God is above all his creatures. And humility is not one of his attributes as God. Because he is above all his creatures. He is in his heavenly throne, way in the highest heaven. But we learn humility only through Christ Jesus. Amen. As he came from the highest heaven and to the lowest of this earth, the wicked earth. As he became, not only that, he became the lowest of a servant. Christ set the example for us to follow. And if we follow his example in humility, then we become godly. Now, Christian growth is upwards, right? And also, Christian growth is downwards. In upwardly we grow, because in upwards we grow in heavenly mindedness. In downward we grow in humility. So you had to grow upward and downwards. In upward we grow in heavenly mindedness, and downward we grow in humility. In John chapter 13, we see scripture reading today, how Christ washed the feet of his disciples. Now, we saw that, and this was a remarkable action of a lowest rank of a servant. As we see a symbolic meaning here. Symbolic meaning is the spiritual washing and cleansing. How Christ washed the disciples' soul from their guilt and pollution of this world. Remember when Peter said to Jesus, "You shall never wash my feet." And in John chapter 13 verse 8, Peter said, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him and said, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. You have no part with me." Now, also remember, Christ, no part with Christ is to be part with the world and the devil. And that's a curse. And remember, also Jesus said, in verse 11, "For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, 'You are not all clean.'" Everybody is not clean, meaning everybody is not spiritually clean. And Ephesians 5:25, we see the scriptures, Ephesians 5:25 and 5:26. "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might" what? "Sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word." And here, Jesus washing the feet of the disciples also is a symbol of him washing the disciples' souls from the guilt and the pollution of this world. And how we need to be raised in Jesus so that he will wash our souls. How is he going to wash our souls? With the word of God, the cleanser. So washing, how Jesus said, Peter said, "I don't want you to wash me." And Jesus said, if you don't want me to wash you, you have no part with me. That means there has to be either you are with Jesus or not. There has to be a separation here. This is what is called sanctification. Once a person is born again, there is a separation unto God. God becomes his priority. We realize then we don't live for ourselves anymore. We live to please God. Our body doesn't belong to us anymore. Our body belongs to Jesus Christ, because he's the one who purchased us and redeemed us with his precious blood. So it doesn't belong to us anymore. And we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. We give praises to God. And we live as a temple in honor to God. If we live to the Lord. And if we die to the Lord. If we live or die, we are the Lord. Romans 14:8. Now, we have learned the doctrines of grace, and our heads are full of it. And we are fattened by the doctrines of grace. Sometimes we can move. We understand the election of God so well. But do you know the aim of election? And what is the aim of election? The aim of election is holiness. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. Because the separation from the world means what? Holiness to God. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. Election. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blameless before Him in love. That is the aim of election. Now, if you remember 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15 and 16, Peter said, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. This is the object of redemption, holiness. This is the fruit of your calling, holiness. Amen. This is what comes out of justification, holiness. This is the evidence of your adoption, holiness. That you should be holy as Christ is holy. He has given us His Son to die for us, that we may die to sin. He has given Him to live, that we may live in Him. Father desires to see Christ in us, that Christ may be glorified in all of us. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Our head cannot be separated from our body. Can it be? No. It's impossible for our head to be separated from our body, right? Head and body flows together. Our head and body works together. In the same way, we have a union with Christ. He is the head of the church, and the head is holy. If the head is holy, then the body ought to be holy. And this is an imitation, that we can be imitators of God, that we will be holy. If you wish to see holiness, look at Christ. In Him, you will see the perfect holiness. Perfect character. He is the perfect one. In Him, you will see all holiness. What is our most important thing in Christ, in Christian life? What is the most important thing in our Christian life? Our most important thing, our chief end, is to glorify God. That is the most important thing. That when we imitate God, we are glorifying Him. For when we are in Christ and holy, separated unto Him, then we admire God. Our affections and our thoughts are in God. We become God admirers, not world admirers. Because we say God above every other thought. The highest of our thoughts are in God. We see the love of Christ when we walk in His love. We can love God from our souls as our hearts can be set upon God. If our hearts are set upon the treasures of this world, the wealth of this world, where is God's love then? But our hearts should be set upon heaven. That's where our affections are going to be, our God. Now, another thing is of imitators of God. We need to imitate God in obedience. In obedience. Remember the wise men who came to see Christ at His birth? Not only they bowed their knee to Him, they also gave gifts to Him. In the same way, we must not only bow our knee to God, but also bring presents of golden obedience to Him. Remember, faith always followed by good works. Always faith followed by good, always follows by good works. Whoever who is united to Christ brings forth the fruit of the gospel, obedience and holiness. The fruit of holiness is found in our outward conversation, in our behavior. We find the holiness, the fruits of holiness. Because when God has given you a new heart, He has cleansed our heart, you know, for He has cleansed the hands and He has given us a pure heart. Out of it, we have outward appearance, outward holiness. So important. Action speaks louder than words. Many can talk very good, but the actions does not produce results. You are called to be the light of this world and the salt of the earth. Be imitators of God. You are witnesses, Christ witnesses. We are Christ witnesses to a dark, perishing world. And we are the only Bible where people can read our behavior. Now you can be a living gospel to people. The masses of these people are fed up of hypocrites, as they say one thing and do something else. But the people can be convicted of their sins by your behavior, by your conduct. And you will be the only Bible that they will see, a living Bible. Hypocrisy is like a leak in a ship. It will not sail, but it will sink. So if we talk, we must walk. Or it will be just mere talking. If we make the profession of abiding in Christ, we must prove it. We must prove to the world by our practice of obedience in walking with Christ. If we say that we are in Christ and abide in Him, we must take care of our life seriously, that our character should be conformed to the image of Christ. Or else it will be just empty talking, empty boasting. Now obedience is trusting in God. Remember Job. He lost his children, his wealth, and all, everything was destroyed. But he had faith of a mustard seed. That's all you need. Faith of a mustard seed. You can trust in God. His flesh was in agony, but his soul was comforted. The grace of Christ is an ever-flowing fountain. And we see the power of that fountain when Apostle Paul said, I will rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. How we need to take the example of Christ. He is God in flesh. You know, remember, Thomas said to Christ, show us the Father. And Jesus said, Thomas, you have been with me so long. Have you not seen the Father? If you see me, you see the Father. Yet, Christ was obedient to the Father. He did not come to do His will, but He came to do the will of the Father. What about you? Do you do what you want to do? What you like to do? Do you do the will of the Father? And what is the will of the Father? The will of the Father is what is written in the Bible, His commandments. Amen. His ways are not our ways. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Look at, when you talk about obedience, look at the nature. Look at the beautiful sun. Rising every single day and setting on the other side every single day. Look at the moon. Look at the stars. The nature. Look at the sun. How it's been obedient to God every single day. A pilot cannot take off his plane whenever he wants to, whenever he feels like it. But he needs to wait for the command. If he is disobedient, he will kill all the passengers. Look at Jesus. Amazing. When he began his ministry, he was 30 years old. And what did he do? For 30 years he was in seclusion. That means some people might think, well, you know, he could have started his ministry early. Maybe he was 16, he could have started his ministry. Maybe 20. But he started his ministry when he was 30 years old. Just imagine the patience and the obedience he had to the Father. For 30, obedience, you know, to the Father in waiting is an obedience. Patience is an obedience. Perseverance is an obedience. Remember, like Spurgeon said, the snail reached the ark with perseverance. Now, he developed his discipline for 30 years and he came into the public soon after his baptism. And after the baptism, when he started his ministry, it was a very short ministry. For 30 years, he was in public seclusion. Then 3 years, everything came into action. Obedience was put into action for 3 years. There is never an idle hour with Christ. He did so much in such a short time. Just imagine, 3 years, the impact. Because obedience was put into action. Not just talking, but he did it. Not just talking, he was able to transform people. Not just talking, there were results when you do. Oh, wake up, you lazy ones, because the time is short. This life is only a dream. It's time to turn off your TV and start reading the Word of God. And look to Christ. Look to Christ. The devil would love you to spend your idle time enjoying in your flesh. But this life is only a dream. Look to Christ. Be in Christ. The devil will tempt you in every way for you to take the broad road that leads to destruction. Obedience is picking up the cross and following Christ. Obedience is not just having a Bible in your home, but reading it. Amen. And following what it says. Obedience is not just coming to church, but once you hear the sermon, take it seriously into your heart and follow what it says. That is obedience. Obedience is doing what you have learned. Self-denial is important for obedience. Discipline is important for obedience. I wake up every day at 3:30, 3 o'clock, every day to go to work. At the same time, Saturday, I wake up early too, sometimes 4 o'clock. To study the Word of God, because that's the best time that I can have a sweet communion with God. That's the best time I can study and contemplate and really have a beautiful time with God without any distractions. Self-denial is saying, I love not myself but my Lord. That is self-denial. Lord, I seek not myself but Christ. That is self-denial. And sometimes self-denial is very hard to this flesh and blood. But you can glorify God by denying yourself. When next time the devil tempts you to watch those movies and soap operas, you know, Hollywood stuff and sitcoms and seeking pleasures of this world, deny yourself, it will glorify God. Then you'll be like Christ. Then you'll be imitating God. Another thing, the last thing I want to show you is prayer. Prayer. So important. Spurgeon said, and I'm going to quote him, "If any of you should ask me for an epitome of the Christian religion, I should say that it is in one word, prayer. Live and die without prayer, and you will pray long enough when you get to hell." Spurgeon was one of the greatest preachers who lived. It was not preaching that made Spurgeon great. He repeatedly acknowledged his success was because it's the church that produced Spurgeon, because the church prayed for him. It was the church that produced Spurgeon. He said, I'm going to quote, "It has often been remarked that the whole church helped produce..." No, this is a quotation by somebody else. "It has been always been remarked that the whole church helped produce Spurgeon. When visitors would come to Spurgeon's church, he would take them to the basement prayer room, where people were always on their knees interceding. Then Spurgeon would declare, 'Here is the powerhouse of the church.'" He said, "I always give glory to God, but I do not forget that He gave me the privilege of ministering from the first to a praying people. We had prayer meetings that moved our souls. Each one appeared determined to storm the celestial city by the might of intercession." Spurgeon regarded the prayer meeting as a spiritual thermometer of the church. His church Monday night prayer meeting had a worldwide testimony for years. Every Monday night, large portions of Spurgeon's sanctuary was filled with earnest and fervent intercessors. Throughout the entire ministry, many hearers remarked that they were moved by his preaching, but yet still moved by affected by his prayers. D.L. Moody was a famous American evangelist, and he went to England. When he came back, somebody asked Moody, "Did you hear Spurgeon preaching?" This is what Moody said, "Yes, but better still, I heard him pray." Spurgeon said, "Shall I give you yet another reason why you should pray? I have preached my very heart out. I could not say any more than I have said. Will not your prayers accomplish that which my preaching fails to do? It is not likely that the church has been putting forth its preaching hand, but it is praying hand. Oh, dear friends, let us agonize in prayer." Now, think about this, what I'm going to say. Jesus was absolutely perfect, yet he could not live without prayer. Then how imperfect people like you and me live without prayer? Think about it. Jesus had no sin, yet he prayed. Then how you and me are living in a sinful world, sinners like us, should pray? He was perfect. He was holy. Yet he prayed to the Father. It's an example for us to follow. When the night came, everybody was sleeping, Jesus withdrew himself into the mountains, the wilderness, and prayed. Is Christ in your heart? If Christ is in your heart, you will be moved to pray, because Christ is in your heart. Why that some could not live without prayer? Why is it that some people cannot live without prayer? But why is it that Christ lived in prayer? The reason is, he was close to the Father. If you live near to God, you would often talk to him. But the problem is, many people don't live near to God. They are far away from God. If you're far away from a person, far away from your husband and wife, you don't have a communication. But if you live close to the husband and wife, live together, you will often talk. It's the same way with God. If you live close to His throne room, grace, you will often talk to Him. But many are not in talking terms with God. Many have a religion. They set aside, yeah, I'm going to pray now. And they bow their knee and pray. And they, you know, give everything, all their needs to God. That's not prayer. And prayer is a relationship, a love relationship. How is your prayer life? Are you having a sweet communion with God? Are you living very close to God? Or are you far away from God? If God is so precious in your mind, then how is that your hearts are so far away from Him? Is it because you live very close to your fleshly appetites? Christ was called a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Yet, there was a great delight inside in Him. As Jesus said, I delight to do Thy will, O God. There is communion with God, and also there is a sweet communion with God. I say there's a communion with God and there's a sweet communion with God. To me, it is the sweet communion that counts. The sweet communion is that you and God alone, only you and God alone in the closet. That is the sweet communion. No distractions. Mm-hmm. And when you pour out your, when you are alone, pouring out your soul to God, your soul will rejoice, and this is the spiritual climax that you will ever have, and you can be delighted in God. Amen. Many a sweet night Jesus spent in those times of prayer with the Father. And let us find our pleasure, our treasure, not on this earth, but in heaven, close to the Father. Amen. Because Jesus is all in all. The Lord of our God, and we need to do what Jesus did. Important, very important to know. I'm going to close with this one scripture. Malachi 1:6. Man honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. Well, and I pray that you will be convicted of the message that you heard, that we will be changed, and that we will, that we should, our focus, our minds, and our hearts, that we will set above this earth and on heavenly things, as we are citizens in heaven. Not on this earth. This earth is just a dream. Our walk in this earth is just a dream. But how much we put so much focus on this earth, as we are going to live here forever. But we are not. We are just passing by. And that's the attitude of a Christian. Now you see that attitude when you get into the Word of God. Lean on the bosom of Jesus Christ. Just like how we saw last time. Mary Magdalene, 3 days she missed the Lord, and how she said, where have they taken my Lord? And she was looking for Him. Where have they taken my Lord? And how can you miss? She missed 3 days, Jesus. She couldn't. Can you miss 3 days? Can you miss Jesus 3 days without the Bible? Just one day? I'll tell you, we are living in very wicked days. There's so much work to do. When I look at the preachers of before, like Spurgeon, he preached 13 times a week. He worked 18 hours a day. And today, many preachers cannot preach only once a week. That's the way we should work. Because the time is coming, the night is coming, where there will be a time that we cannot work. Give your priorities to God. Keep your mind about this earth. Keep your heart. Set your affections on God. Set your love on God. Adore Him. Look at Christ. He is the glory of God. He is God. In full of God lives in bodily form in Christ. He is the exact representation of God. Look at Him. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, how we thank You, Lord, for the word that was prepared in heaven and delivered by Your servant, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for anointing me as I don't deserve it, Lord. Absolutely not. A saving, a wicked, wretched sinner like me, Lord. I give all the glory to You, Lord. And it is Your power. It is your wisdom. It is Your grace, Lord. It is what You have done at the cross. And we are to be just Your hands, Your feet, and Your mouthpiece, Lord. And I pray and ask, Lord, that the word that was given today, Lord, that people will eat it, Lord, and that they will chew it, and they would meditate upon it, Lord, and that their hearts will be profited by it. And we pray, Lord, that our souls, that we would, our hearts will be able to exercise our hearts in a holy affection, Lord. We ask, Lord God Almighty, that when we go home, that we would not forget Your word, Lord. That we would always meditate upon it, Lord. And it's so easy to forget the word if we are in the world, if we are in the flesh. So, Father, we pray, Lord, that You would crucify our fleshly bodies, Lord. Daily that we will crucify these things. Because these are our enemies all around us. There are a lot of Goliaths in front of us, Lord. We pray and ask, Lord, that You revive us, our hearts, Lord. That we would come and kill those Goliaths. And that nevertheless not You, Lord. Nevertheless not us, Lord. But Christ would live through us, Lord. That we would be a light to the world, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.